Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, September the 13th, 2012, the anniversary of our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, penned on this date in 1814. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. And at the station's website, kvoi.com. And we make it very easy for you to hear our program. If you miss it live, we post it to buckmastershow.com. We post it to the tucsonsentinel.com, to tucsoncitizen.com, and gvnews.com. That's the website for the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. They now have a link to the Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to one each weekday. Today's show, Republican Martha McSally will give us an update on her quest to become a United States representative from Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. 20 minutes past the hour, Republican Christopher Ackerley. He's one of three running for two seats in the state legislature from LD number 2. 30 minutes past the hour, the monsoon is gone. Did we make a dent in the decade-long drought? Our Arizona quarterly water quarterly series features David Modier today. He heads up the Central Arizona Project. Then we close out the show. Controversial new research and study about fish oil supplements. We'll talk with Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter, about that. We encourage you to be part of the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also submit your questions during the show. We'll keep an eye on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a question, we'll try to get it on the air. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Republican candidate for U.S. Representative in Congressional District 2, Colonel Martha McSally, the first female fighter pilot to fly in combat, the first to command a fighter squadron in combat in United States history. It was 10 years ago that Martha McSally earned national recognition for successfully overturning a military policy requiring all U.S. service women to wear Muslim clothing when off base in Saudi Arabia. Colonel McSally, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
How's the campaign going?
It is going great. We've got 54 days till Election Day, and people are voting starting in about 29 days. Our first TV advertisement went up yesterday. Hopefully people have seen it. If you haven't, you can also check it out on YouTube or go to our Facebook page and see it. And we've been tirelessly out and about in the community. Yesterday, I had an incredible opportunity to participate again in the Missing in America Project ceremony to bring 19 veterans to their final resting place in the Sierra Vista Veterans Cemetery. And these are indigent and homeless veterans that nobody had claimed their remains. And this awesome project has come together to go find them and to figure out which ones are veterans and to bring them full military honors and bring them home. And it's just been a privilege. The second time I've participated. So I gave the keynote speech at the 9/11 remembrance ceremony down in Green Valley at the American Legion on Monday, and we've got meet and greets and getting out in neighborhoods and walks and calls, and we're hitting it hard.
Is there a sharp contrast between yourself and your opponent, the incumbent Ron Barber?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the June election was about serving out Gabby Gifford's term, and Ron Barber as her staffer was who the people selected to do that. And the November election is about the future. Who is the right person who's got the right expertise and record and proven leadership to solve the complex problems that are facing our country? Our first ad is called the Pioneer Spirit, and Southern Arizona is filled with pioneers and rugged individuals, and, you know, that's the core of who I am, and I'm a leader, and we need leadership right now in Washington, D.C. We need people who are going to figure out how to solve problems, bring people together, and get things done. And I've got a proven record of doing that now for almost 28 years, 26 in uniform. And that's what I bring to the people of Southern Arizona.
The Democrats are saying that Ron Barber has a comfortable lead. I know that some of the polling done by the Republicans show that this is a very close race. And I know you would like national support from the Republican Party. That is yet to come. Do you expect it?
Actually, we do have it, and our poll shows that I am within 5 points of Mr. Barber with a margin of error of just less than that. So we are neck and neck right now. And again, we're getting out with our message early and quickly through our grassroots program, through going up on television, mailings, and other things. So, you know, this is neck and neck right now, and we were named a young gun by the National Republican Congressional Committee. They decided last week, but they announced it this week, and that's a big deal. That means that you have met their thresholds, that you have a path to victory, that you've met fundraising thresholds, and you have a professional organization and a good campaign plan. And so far, only 39 candidates in the entire country have been named young guns. So, you know, the joke is the top gun is now a young gun, which is important. So, yeah, they are realizing that we have a path to victory and this race is in play. And so we have their support.
What should the response be from the American government on the attack on the American consulate this week in Libya that killed our ambassador and 3 other State Department employees?
You know, this is such an unbelievable travesty. You know, the first time we've had a U.S. ambassador killed since 1979 in Afghanistan. This is just, we need to condemn those attacks. We need to condemn them strongly. And we do need to make sure that our people that are serving around the world are safe and secure. So there needs to be a full investigation, and we need to bring the people to justice who have committed these murders. So there needs to be strong condemnation, and we need to be keeping the families in our thoughts and prayers for those who lost their lives.
Because,
this is just unacceptable.
Because of your experience in the military and in the Middle East, do you feel that you have a better grasp on foreign affairs issues than Congressman Barber does?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm a distinguished graduate from the Air Force Academy. I've got 2 master's degrees, you know, 1 in public policy with an international security focus from Harvard, and another 1 in strategic studies from the Air War College. And as a senior military officer, you know, commanding my squadron in combat and at the strategic level, we're responsible for understanding and being a part of our national security plans and strategies, which many of them are threats are emanating out of the Middle East. In my last job, I was a professor of national security studies at a place called the Marshall Center, and so I was teaching these issues and how to secure our interests both nationally and regionally. And a lot of them are coming in the lease. So that is my experience and expertise, and I can certainly speak to it. We've got multiple threats coming out, whether it's a potential nuclear Iran, whether it's what's going on in Egypt, now what's happening in Libya. I mean, this is very complex stuff, and I can speak to it through my education and my experience far greater than Mr. Barber.
What are you hearing about debates with Mr. Barber?
Well, we've been asked to participate in many debates, and we've agreed to all of them, but Mr. Barber, unfortunately, has not agreed to hardly any of them so far. So they've had to cancel a few requests that we had already said we would come to. He has agreed now to 1 only in Sierra Vista in late October, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. I really hope that the people of Southern Arizona demand that their 2 candidates get out in front of them and debate the issues often. This is a really important election, and they deserve to see both of their candidates, be able to see them talking on their feet, what their understanding are of issues, what their profile's like, what their energy level's like, how they're going to solve these problems, how they're going to move forward, and what our differences are in the issues. So I really hope that they're going to step up and be willing to debate more, because so far they've been canceling and not responding.
So you're saying the only scheduled debate would be 1 in Sierra Vista, nothing in the Tucson area?
There's been several requested in the Tucson area, and we have offered ourselves to every single one of them, but not one at this point has been secured by Mr. Barber's team.
Well, I'll extend an invitation to both of you right now. Why don't you sit down on the Buckmaster radio show together?
Absolutely. So I'm ready to do that. Again, this is an important election. This is about who's going to go to Washington, D.C., fight for the people of Southern Arizona and represent their interests. And so the people of the district deserve to kind of hear from both of the candidates, see where they're coming from, what their background is, what qualities they have, and where they are in the issues. And we're ready to do that. So you just name the date and the time, and we'll be there.
Tell me about what are you hearing is the number one issue. Is it health care? Is it the economy? And how are you going to solve that number one issue?
The number one issue for the people of Southern Arizona is the economy. Our economic stagnation has been going on way too long. People are unemployed, underemployed, working 2 jobs. Their net worth has gone down. Their economic security for their future and for their kids is being impacted, which then impacts, of course, their availability of health care and a number of other things. So it's the job of the federal government to take the uncertainty out of the economy and to create the environment so that small businesses can start growing again. 7 of 10 jobs come from small businesses, as you know. And right now, everybody's holding on to their resources. They're not hiring. They're not investing because they don't know. Are the taxes going to go up? Do we have new government mandates? And, you know, what's coming next? So we got to tackle the tough problems in D.C. by sitting down, coming together, and getting us on the right trajectory, and then creating the environment so that businesses can start putting people back to work again. That's the number one issue.
Martha McSally is with us on the Buckmaster Show. She is the Republican candidate in CD2. And as far as health care?
It's absolutely up there. I mean, we need real health care reform. I do not think it is a government-run program. I do not support the Affordable Care Act. It is anything but affordable. Now costing us over $1.7 trillion total is what the newest estimates are, and taking, you know, over $700 billion from Medicare. So we got to stop talking about what we're against, though, and start talking about what we're for. So I've been sitting down with doctors and nurses, hospital administrators, people in the insurance business and pharmaceuticals and others, and trying to really understand what are the cost drivers so that we can have real health care reform that brings the cost down to make it affordable and available for people. Because if we do nothing or we try and go back to where we were, it's going to bankrupt us as a country and as people. So, you know, these are complex issues, Bill, and we need someone who's going to put their nose to the grindstone and try and figure out how to solve them. Bring a team of people together and make things happen. And that's what I'm offering.
Martha McSally, good to talk with you. Folks can get more information at your website.
Absolutely, MarthaMcSally.com. Please join our team and let's do this together.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1220. In this portion of the program presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Tucson Hilton East. That's Thursday, September the 20th. That's next Thursday, a week from today, 9:30 in the morning. RSVP. Say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. A listener called me earlier today and said that he had RSVP'd for this event. We're glad to hear that. If you'd like to join the others, 762-4090, 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com. We continue now with our candidate interview series. We're trying to interview as many of the candidates as possible between now and the general election. We have been spotlighting the Arizona Legislative District number 2 this week. Includes parts of Pima and Santa Cruz counties. We have spoken with the two Democrats, Andrea D'Alessandro and Rosanna Gabaldon. And now we will speak with the Republican, Christopher Ackerley. Mr. Ackerley, a physics teacher at Amphitheater High School. Mr. Ackerley, Chris, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into politics.
Well, two primary reasons why I decided to jump into this race. The first is that I'm a high school educator. I teach physics, as you said. I've also spent the last 2 years serving on the state board of directors for the Arizona Education Association. And we've had some real struggles with public education in Arizona over the last few years. And it was really frustrating talking with policymakers about sound education policy. So few of the legislatures, especially on the Republican side, have direct experience with public education, that it was hard to find a common theme to base the conversations on. So that's one of the reasons why I'm getting involved. And the other one is I'm truly concerned about Southern Arizona having some effective representation up in Maricopa. If you look at what the Redistricting Commission has done to Southern Arizona, they have given quite a bit of the advantage to the Democrats. And while I understand—
Including in your district, LD2?
Yes, including in my district. The registration edge is definitely in the Democratic favor. And while I understand why Democrats might think that's a plus, I'm asking them to think about that, because it is very possible that Pima County and Santa Cruz County, which is totally included in our district, doesn't have any Republican representation in Phoenix. And the legislature will still be in Republican control. And without anybody at the table in the majority caucus, it's going to be very difficult to get Southern Arizona's priorities addressed.
How about independents? Could they sway this for – it's a three-way race. Top two vote getters go on to Phoenix. Do you have a
independents are – yes. Independents make up a third of the district.
So that's really crucial.
Yes, it is really
especially
crucial
for you with a disadvantage.
Yes.
As a Republican in the registration. So how are you, other than the fact you're a Republican and your two opponents are Democrat, how are you separating yourself from those opponents? What's the key issue here as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think the issues are independent of politics. I mean, education is – I mean, we don't just, you know – educate one party or the other. This truly transcends parties, as well as the other issues that are facing Southern Arizona. They do. And so what I'm asking people to do is you know, check me out, listen to me as we, you know, go through the forums and the debates, and see if they don't think that I could make a more effective representative for their interests up in Phoenix.
We are speaking with Republican Christopher Ackerley. He is in a three-way race in LD2. Part of your area covers one of the highest unemployment areas, Santa Cruz County.
Yes, it does. Santa Cruz County is they have, and to some extent Pima County has well, but they have been left behind as we have started to get onto the road to recovery. And some of that, unfortunately, is due to border issues, which are significant issues in the area. We have to have a secure border, but at the same time, that border has to be workable. The folks in Santa Cruz County are really, really concerned about making that border workable for commerce. It would be a terrible, terrible shame if all of the produce traffic, I think it's up to $1 billion worth of traffic that comes across that border gets diverted to Texas because we don't have a workable policy.
What's your feeling on the 1 cent sales tax initiative, the measure that would give the dedicated 1 cent to education?
I have mixed feelings over that. I think there's some problems with it, and I think two of the problems with the initiative as it's drafted is that it doesn't have a sunset date in it, and it has an automatic inflationary increase, which I think are very troubling precedents to set. That being said, I think we have to come to grips with the fact that Arizona right now is not meeting its obligations, and without some source of revenue to keep us from going over the cliff, it's going to be very difficult. And having looked at school budgets extensively, I know that this 1 cent sales tax is not even going to fill the hole that we're going to be in the future. So I am not concerned necessarily, although I think it's a bad precedent, I'm not concerned that that automatic spending increase is going to overtake the state budget. So even though I have mixed feelings about it, at the end of the day, I'm going to vote for it.
Are there many state lawmakers who are educators? And, you know, it seems like education's everybody's – that and jobs, their top priorities. But how many lawmakers are actually teachers?
There are a few. Most of them on the Democratic side of the aisle. There are a few on the Republican side of the aisle, but many of them end up being in specialized areas, particularly career and technical education areas, and not necessarily general education.
Have you been a Republican all your life?
I have.
And you believe in being a conservative, and why is that?
Well, my political philosophy is firmly grounded in three concepts: limited government, local control, and fiscal responsibility. And I think that those issues, they mesh with the principles of the Republican Party, although I think in some cases over the last couple of years as a party we might have lost sight of a few of those. We tend to get really, really focused on policy outcomes rather than looking at, okay, what are the fundamental principles that we're actually trying to uphold?
You've been around – the Ackerleys have been in Tucson a long time, and that name may be familiar to a lot of people because of the Tucson Boys Chorus.
Yes. My uncle is the director for some 30-odd years now. Julian Ackerley directs the Boys Chorus. My grandfather has owned an agency in town since the 50s, and so my family is deeply rooted in southern Arizona.
So how are you structuring this campaign? A lot of door-to-door stuff?
Well, that's going to be the key. I mean, it's going to be getting out and talking with voters. And like I said, one of the principal one of my principal political beliefs is local control, and that doesn't work unless politicians are talking to local constituents. And so that has to happen. So yes, it's going to be a lot of door knocking. It has been a lot of door knocking. It will continue to be a lot of door knocking.
And when you door knock, what do they say their number one issue is?
I don't know that there's a number one issue that is emerging. I mean, I tend to start off the conversation with my qualifications, and they tend to – I mean, that sort of directs the conversation sometimes. So, you know, I don't have to get a clear guess. But what I can tell you is there's a great deal of frustration overall theme is that there's a great deal of frustration with the way government is working right now.
We've been speaking with Christopher Ackerley. He is a Republican, and he's facing two Democrats in LD2. The top two vote-getters go on to the state legislature. For more information about your campaign, Christopher?
Ackerley2012.com. Facebook, Ackerley2012 as well. Shoot me an email. My phone number is listed on there as well. Give me a call.
Okay, Christopher Ackerley, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about probably the number one resource that this state faces. That's our water issue. That's coming up, our Arizona Water Quarterly, next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A Libyan official says authorities have arrested some people suspected of taking part in the deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, left the American ambassador and three other Americans dead. There's more information on who was behind the anti-Muslim film that's ignited mob violence in the Mideast. A U.S. law enforcement official says authorities have identified a Southern California man as a key figure involved in making that video. The Fed's announcement of additional help for the U.S. economy has sent stocks surging today, with the Dow gaining more than 200 points. Right now, it's up 204 at 13,537. The NASDAQ Composite Index trading 43 points higher, and the S&P 500 Index better by 22. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice, well, once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, and that's water. Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by Central Arizona Project, your water, your future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix, David Modier. Mr. Modier, the former head of Tucson Water and now general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you today?
I'm doing real fine, Bill. It's nice to speak with you again.
Thank you very much. Likewise, David, this is very apropos to have you on today because it looks like suddenly the monsoon has departed and it looks like it is over pretty much for the year. It's been a strange monsoon season here, David, in Tucson. The airport reporting like 2 inches below normal for this time, but I can tell you in the Tucson foothills, it's been probably the most active monsoon in maybe about 20 years. Very strange.
Yeah, I have seen some of the news reports from there and all, and with our facilities down there, we've experienced substantial storms in that area. We've had a lot of monsoon storms here in the Phoenix and area and out west. Actually, I had some damage to some of our facilities because of heavy storms from the monsoon season. So in Phoenix, it's been a pretty good season for monsoon. It's above normal anyway. I don't know if it's much above normal, but it is above normal for the monsoon season.
How are we doing as far as the Colorado River? We started the year at one of the lowest flows on record. Has that changed much, David?
No, Bill, it has not. It's still one of our lowest inflows in the Colorado River in the last 10 or 12 years. Approaching, I think 2003 was one of our lower years, and I think we're approaching that. It's not been a very good season for snowpack in the upper Colorado, nor for inflow from melt into the Colorado River system.
How about a basic question, David Modier? How important is the Central Arizona Project water to our region here in Tucson?
Well, I think it's absolutely vital for the Tucson region. Absent the Central Arizona Project supply of water, Tucson would have continued to overdraft the groundwater, and the area would be in a substantial, difficult situation for not only water supply, but for the creation of damage from subsidence and the permanent loss of aquifer storage capacity. So CAP has alleviated those issues from ever appearing. I think the city of Tucson and the surrounding communities, Oro Valley and the Metro Water District, Sarita, Green Valley, all of those areas are benefiting substantially today from their use of CAP water, or will in the very near future.
Well, we were talking about the low flow on the Colorado River, and I'm wondering, how concerned are you about that, and what is CAP doing to assure that we're going to have water supplies?
Well, we are concerned. There's no question that there, at some point in time, there will likely be a drought. I think the nearest term that we see that of a shortage happening on the Colorado is probably around the year 2017. The probability is still fairly low, and according to the hydrology experts at the Bureau of Reclamation, but that appears to be the first year that we have any significant probability of a shortage. Nonetheless, we need to plan for the potential of shortage and decreasing flows in the Colorado River over the long term. We have been doing a number of things for short term to assure that we can continue to provide water to our communities, Tucson being one of them. We participated in the pilot operation of the Yuma desalting plant, which showed that it could operate and save 80 to 100,000 acre-foot of water behind Lake Mead on an annual basis if it was operated on a permanent basis. We're restoring habitat, removing high water use vegetation along the Colorado with all the other basin states in order to ensure that more water remains in the river. We're participating in cloud seeding operations in the upper Colorado that have produced scientifically proven additional precipitation into it. But long-term is the real issue for us. What are we doing long-term? And I think two aspects that we are doing is, one, we're actively out now trying to acquire supplies of water, permanent water rights holders along the Colorado that will supplement our supplies in a period of a shortage. And secondly, we've been actively participating with the Bureau of Reclamation and the other seven states to look at what are the shortages, what are the magnitude of the shortages that could happen in terms of lower precipitation over the next 50 years, and what can we do to increase conservation and to provide for augmentation of the Colorado River in order to be able to withstand those periods of lower flows in the Colorado.
David Modier is with us. He is the general manager of the Central Arizona Project. The last time we talked, David, a few months ago, we were speaking about the importance to CAP of the Navajo Generating Station. That's the power plant that provides most of the energy to use to bring the Colorado River water into Arizona. And at that time when we talked, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency was expected to release their ruling on emissions from that plant in the late summer. Where is the process now?
Well, we're still waiting for that release, Bill. The last we heard is that it could be released as early as September 20th. And then again, there is some speculation that it may not happen until later this year. We're hopeful that it will happen here in September yet. It's very important for us to get rid of this uncertainty so that we know what we're going to have to deal with. It has a substantial impact on the cost of water for the future. I don't think, no matter what the ruling comes out of the EPA, we can expect that water prices will stay as they are now. I think we're at the best case they'll ever be, and I think the cost will go up even if we get what we would consider a more reasonable ruling out of the EPA. I think we can must come to the grips with the fact that the price of water is going to rise because of issues at the Navajo Generating Station on the energy side, and they could go up under a bad ruling as high as 100 to 200%, or with a good ruling we could be more in that 40 to 60 to 70% increase in energy cost.
So this Navajo generating issue, I don't think the public really understands how vital this is to the consumer, do they?
I don't think people quite understand, and I think sometimes it gets so complicated to talk about the impacts of the Navajo generating station that people sort of push it off because it's so difficult to understand, and there are so many aspects to it that make it hard to understand. But for the general public to understand is, Navajo Generating Station is a very low-cost producer of power. It was built for the primary purpose of supplying power to the Central Arizona Project. 95% of our power for moving water 3,000 feet uphill to Tucson comes from that plant. Energy is about 50% of the cost of CAP water. With that price to rise, that causes a substantial impact in the cost of water to the general consumer. The loss of that plant means that we have to find that power. Otherwise, water doesn't move from the Colorado River to Tucson. We have to find another source of that. In any other source, we have demonstrated in our studies, is substantially more expensive than that is provided out of the Navajo Generating Station for CAP.
So the worst-case scenario would be very high energy costs. The least impact would be a moderate increase. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, the least impact would be a moderate, and one that could be implemented over a period of years so that it isn't a single large jump in the energy cost, but we could incorporate that over an extended period of time in order to soften the blow to our customers and the people that they serve within the communities.
Is this the final word, what the ruling will be, or is there going to be appeals, or how's that work, David?
Well, that's probably a question that's yet to be answered. My own gut feeling is that this will be a preliminary ruling, and there'll probably be a period of time to take public comments on it and maybe to even negotiate some terms of the ruling. I don't think it's going to be a order that is clear and deciding it at that one fell swoop. I think there's going to be an opportunity for some level of negotiation on this, and I think that it'll be a year or more before the rule actually becomes final and implementable.
David Modier, thank you very much for the update.
You're welcome, Bill. I appreciate the time to talk with you and the people in Tucson.
Thank you very much. David Modier with our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time.
not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:50. In this portion of the program, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and the 8th annual Gila River Festival is coming up September 13th through the 26th. Everything looking all green and beautiful over in that area of southwest New Mexico. So much to do, great places to stay, including Cottage of the Whispering Canyon and Agave Ridge Retreat and Buckhorn RV Park. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, Americans are spending a lot of money on fish oil supplements. That business is booming. Last year alone, $1.1 billion on the fish oil pills. That's up 5% from 2010, according to Nutrition Business Journal. And now there is a study out from the Journal of the American Medical Association saying that taking the fish oil supplements, which are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, does not appear to have a significant effect on heart attacks, strokes, or death. Joining us now to talk about that and other things, Jack Chalom, personal nutrition coach, one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition and a best-selling author. He has more than 20 books, including his latest title, No More Fatigue. And we are delighted to have Jack with us. Jack comes on the Buckmaster Show once a month. He's the author of The Nutrition Report. He is known as the Nutrition Reporter. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I think that this report, along with the one that came out a week or so ago about buying organic food, I think those who are taking the fish oil supplements, like myself, and I know you take them as well.
I take them.
I don't think this study is going to really impact a lot of people who believe in the fish oil supplements.
Well, it's we've talked about this sort of thing before. It's one of these shaky studies that probably should not have been published. And I'm going to start just by commenting on the $1 billion a year figure for fish oil supplements. And it sounds like an outrageously large amount of money, but you look at drug companies just like Merck, $100 billion plus a year. So when you talk about fish oils, it's really a drop in the bucket. Anyway, about this study that was published the other day, you know, we live in a headline-driven news world. And one of the problems with that is the focus is on the latest study. There's no context. Mm-hmm. And the context here is that there have been literally thousands of studies on fish oils in people, showing incredible benefits to the heart as an anti-inflammatory.
Lowering the triglycerides.
Yeah, improving mood and behavior. And so you can't disregard the context and reverse direction just because one study says no benefits. Well, when I dug into the study after you gave me a call the other day, one of the things that came out is most of the subjects in the study had severe heart disease and they were taking a lot of medications. And when you're taking a lot of medications, it's really hard to tease out any single thing that's providing a benefit. So essentially, the effect of the drugs masks the benefits of the fish oils.
The bottom line, the last paragraph in this story in USA Today, the researchers cautioned that while their findings didn't justify the use of omega-3 in general, more research is needed to look at whether it might be useful for specific patient populations or illnesses.
Yeah. Well, that's typical researcher fudge. I think the take-home message here in my mind is fish oils are better than drugs. They're safer. They're less expensive. They're great for prevention. What you really want to do is avoid getting to the point where you've got severe heart disease. And the drugs don't prevent that. Supplements like fish oils do a very good job of that.
And the FDA has actually approved fish oil for lowering triglycerides. So there is a track record definitely in that area.
Oh, yeah. And to lower triglycerides, you need to take about 400 milligrams a day of EPA, DHA. It's been FDA approved for a number of years. There are actually some fish oil prescription drugs indicated for that. But again, it's less expensive just to go to your health food store.
Turning to the Nutrition Reporter, your September issue, and I think I can kind of generally say that this was kind of the vitamin D issue. You have several articles about vitamin D. Summarize them generally for us.
Well, again, the real superstars are fish oils and vitamin D. And aside from taking a multivitamin supplement, these are the two things I would add. And the reason I devoted almost the entire issue of my September issue to vitamin D is because there is just so much research being published, and I really wanted to do it justice. So one study found that vitamin D seems to help reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. Great news, because we've got about 25 million people in this country with type 2 diabetes and about 100 million with some type of prediabetes. We've got another study showing that a combination of vitamin D and calcium seems to reduce the risk of death. And everyone's going to die, of course, but a study like this looks at how many people are dying at a certain age, and if they had higher vitamin D levels, they were less likely to die at any particular age.
And those worried about breast cancer?
Yeah. Another study found that women who had high vitamin D levels at the time of diagnosis tended to have smaller tumors and better survivals. And so, you know, you can't change your history, but it's really urgent for every cancer patient to take large amounts of vitamin D. A lot of research backs this up. And one of the stories in the newsletter is about the two different forms of vitamin D on the market, D3 and D2. And this study showed that vitamin D3 is the form that increases blood levels of the vitamin, whereas, interestingly, vitamin D2 lowered vitamin D levels. And we've known for years that D3 is better absorbed, but this is the first study that shows D2 lowers D3 levels.
And generally, how much D3 do you need a day?
Most people, I would say, a minimum of 2,000 IU a day.
Which is a little bitty pill.
Oh, yeah. And a slightly larger itty-bitty pill. You know, 5,000 IU a day is the recommended dose a lot of experts suggest.
Hey, maybe Popeye was right about spinach, huh?
It's interesting, isn't it? There are substances in spinach that seem to enhance muscle development. This is really the subject for another show, mm-hmm. but I think this in part gets back to the whole acid alkaline pH balance in the body. And you basically do yourself a favor by eating a lot of veggies. And one of the consequences, the good consequences, is you're less likely to have your muscles and your bones break down as you age.
Jack Chalom, where can folks get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter?
I've got a year's worth of issues up on my website, nutritionreporter.com.
And your book is available on Amazon?
On Amazon, and I've got a couple sample chapters at my website with the link to Amazon.
Jack Chalom, thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. It's Culligan water. It simply tastes better. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Dean of Local Talk, the John C. Scott Show from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Right here on AM 1030 KVOI. The voice tomorrow, John Pettacone. Dr. Pettacone, head of TUSD, superintendent there, will be our Friday Focus interview. Jimmy Bogle, the weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gaston, the star, join me for the Reporters Roundtable. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.